All right, I'd like to, he's not here, but I'd like to thank Pastor for giving me the opportunity to preach. Thank you all for being obedient, being here this evening. We are going to be in Galatians 5, starting in verse 22. If you want to find that and stand, we'll read text together. Then you can find Ephesians and kind of keep your finger there. That's where we will ultimately be going. Most of you know Galatians 5:22 lists the fruit of the Spirit. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Lord, once again we come to you in prayer, asking your blessing over the message, Lord, over the words this evening, Lord. I pray that you'll just speak through me, that the Holy Spirit might illuminate the scriptures for us, that the Holy Spirit might convict hearts of sin. That tonight, that through the message, we might make some changes in our lives to be better servants and better workers and witnesses and better Christians, Lord. Most of all, that your name is glorified because of it, Lord. We do love you. We want to serve you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you can be seated. I'm trying to talk around a breath mint, so my throat doesn't dry out, so if I sound funny, that's why. You would have to be living in a cave deep in the wilderness somewhere on a desert island to not have heard some of the news lately. I mean, the headlines are crazy. I'm sure you've heard about the shooting at the outlet mall in Allen. That's really kind of frightening for our family because that's what we do on vacation. We go to the Dallas area, hit the outlet malls. So that was kind of creepy. Before that was the shooting at the Christian school in Nashville. Donald Trump being found guilty of sexual misconduct. Potential indictment of Biden family members. Open borders, defund the police. Drug use, rampant crime everywhere. I mean, I could spend my whole time just listing off all the bad junk that happens in the news. But, and I can remember my mom just shaking her head, saying that she didn't understand how people could act the way they do. And I have to admit, sometimes I kind of, why do people do that? Why do they act that way? And, you know, some of you might have the same mindset. And I never really said a lot about it to her before she got saved. But then once she was saved, I just told her, that's how unsaved people act. They're doing what they do. And we might say, but I never did anything like that. But what does God's word say? Sorry. 1 Corinthians 6:9 says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God, and such were some of you. So before you were saved, we were just like the people in the news, just different degrees of wrong. You say, but now I'm saved, I don't act that way anymore. Well, guess what? Being saved does make your past sins forgiven and justified, just like it never happened. But being saved doesn't mean you're immune to sin. We still sin. It's not, you know, we can't just not sin anymore. So what do we do when sin rears its ugly head in our day-to-day lives. We've heard sermons about walking in the Spirit. What I read there in Galatians 5:25, I think it was, said to walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And that's right. If we walk in the Spirit, we won't do all those things that we just read. And then there's another list. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners. And then continued in Galatians 5:19, add uncleanness, lasciviousness, which means uncontrolled lusts, or witchcraft, which is drug use, or hatred, or variance, which is argumentative. I know we don't have people that like to argue. Emulations, that's jealousies, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, and to top it off, it says, and such like. Even if it's anything like any of those, we still have a sin problem. And I'm sorry it's such a long list, but it's there to prove that we act just like the people that surprise us out of the way they act. So we're supposed to walk in the Spirit. How? It's one thing to know it. Another thing to know how to do it. It just so happens that we have an instruction book written by the Holy Spirit. Right there. Preserved by God for us to use and learn these things. In Philippians 4:8, it gives us a list of how to control our thought life. 2 Peter 1 tells us how to mature as Christians. In the book of Ephesians, remember I said keep your finger there, there are 7 walks mentioned that will teach us how to walk in the Spirit. So that's what we're going to look at tonight. We know we're supposed to do it, but we need to know how to do it in order to be obedient. Ephesians 2:2, that's where it starts. And we know Ephesians is a letter written by Paul to the church in Ephesus, and he's telling them what he's already told, church in Corinth, church in Galatia. Ephesians 2:2 says, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That explains why the people in 1 Corinthians were acting the way they did. That explains why in Galatians 5:19, that long list is there. Because they were acting just like Satan told them to act. Wherein in time past ye. I don't know if you ever heard of Ian Thomas. I know Bob's heard of Ian Thomas. We talked about it. He was a British Air Force pilot that became a missionary, and he wrote a book, a mission book. When it says go ye means go me. So it says, wherein in time past ye walked. That means me. That means us. We walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. In other words, before we were saved, we did just what Satan wanted us to do. Because why? We didn't belong to Christ. We belonged to Satan. We did what he wanted. Says the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's just how unsaved people act. The way Satan wants them to act. That's really a terrible thought. If we're not acting the way we're supposed to act, we're acting the way Satan wants us to act. It's not like there's a third choice. So Ephesians 2:2 tells us why we walk the way we walk. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Here's we again. We is us. I was a math teacher, not an English teacher, so it doesn't matter. Talking about to us here. Created in Christ Jesus. We talked about this in Hope Hill Night. One of the names for God is Adonai. You know what that means? Master. You know why he's master? He made us, he owns us.
That's right.
Just like if Richie goes and builds himself a barn on his property, it's his barn, and do what he wants to with it. He made it, he owns it. We are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. He made us. He saved us. We belong to him. And God's plan all along was to create us to walk in good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. The word walk, now that we're got past all the bad stuff, basically means whatever you plan or undertake to do. In the Bible, where it says conversation, it's talking about your lifestyle. Your walk is your lifestyle. The way you do things, the way you act, the way people see you do things. So how do we do that in good works? In the Greek, that means to make sure it's upright, honorable, agreeable, and useful in your work for the Lord. That's why he made us, created us, owns us, so that whatever we do in our day-to-day lives is honorable, agreeable, and useful in his work. That's the walk we're supposed to have. We know we're supposed to walk in the Spirit. This is one of the ways we do it. Make sure what we're doing is correct. Make sure it's right. Ephesians 4:1 goes on to say, "I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called." And you know what? If you see the word "therefore," you know what it means. Read all the stuff before it. See what it's there for. It's there because of what we just read, Ephesians 2:2 and Ephesians 2:10. Paul says, "Therefore, because of that, conduct yourselves in a way that is worthy of Jesus' death on the cross." He died on the cross for us. Yes, God made us. Yes, God owns us. But he gave us free will. We talked about that before. We make choices every day. And being a sovereign God, he knew that we're not always going to make good choices. The Bible said it is not in man to set his own path. So conduct ourselves worthy in a way that glorifies Jesus' death on the cross. Worthy of what he's done for us. Has God ever answered one of your prayers? Your walk should be worthy of the fact that he answered your prayers. Worthy of what he's asked you to do. What's he asked you to do? Act like a Christian. It's simple. What does the word Christian mean? Christ-like. Now, I understand back in Bible times, the word Christian was used as basically a curse word, those dirty, nasty Christians, by the Romans and by the pagans around them. But it means Christ-like. So if you profess to be a Christian, claim to be a Christian, Ephesians 4:1, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. You're called to act like a Christian. Act like it. people shouldn't have to guess. Is that person saved? Does that person go to church? I mean, the way we talk, the way we dress, the places we go, the things we do, things we listen to, things we watch, where our phone computer goes. That's part of being a Christian. And once we learn to act like a Christian, we're told to tell other people about what Jesus has done for us. So we're walking worthy of doing that also. Ephesians 4:17 says, "This I say, therefore," there's another therefore, "and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind." You've heard the phrase guilt by association? Just because the people around you don't act right, doesn't mean you don't have to act right. We're supposed to be different. We're called out. The Bible calls us peculiar people. In most cases, that doesn't mean weirdos. That means we're supposed to be different. It's supposed to be obvious that we're different than the people around us. They are walking how? In the vanity of their minds. I looked up vanity. I looked in word studies. In the Greek, vanity doesn't mean what we think it means. It means devoid of the truth. In other words, again, they act like unsaved people. It also means they're acting inappropriately. That works better than a mint. So this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord. Not to act like everybody else acts, that you henceforth not walk as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. When we act like we're unsaved, when we act like unsaved people act, what does that do with Christ's crucifixion? With his death on the cross. I mean, what's the point? He died on the cross for our salvation that we could be different. And we're not acting different. Ephesians 5:2 kind of tells us how to do that. It says, "And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." So our walk, our way of life, our way of conducting our day-to-day lives in a loving manner. Now you have to admit, a lot of people just don't, they're not that loving anymore. They're not that lovable, put it that way. But what this means is, this love in this verse is the agape love. That means active goodwill and benevolence towards others, whether they deserve it or not, whether you feel like it or not, whether it's what you want to do or not. It says do it. Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. Christ's love towards us is for our goodwill. Christ's love towards us is for benevolent purposes. He wants what's best for us. That's how Christ, that's how he treated everybody he came in contact with. Didn't matter if they were demon-possessed or a leper or one of the Roman soldiers that arrested him, he treated them all the same way. He loved them. And I thought, as I looked at this, I never actually seen it this way. It says, and hath given himself for an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. That's not necessarily talking about his sacrificial death on the cross. That's his day-to-day life as a human being here on earth. He did whatever it took to show God's love, making sure that what he did while he was here on earth as a human being was acceptable to God the Father. That's how we're supposed to walk. That's how we're supposed to act. Ephesians 5:8 says, for you were sometimes darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. I had to kind of scratch my head looking at that. Sometimes darkness. But it just means we've acted the way we acted before we were saved because we didn't understand. We were in the dark spiritually. But with salvation came understanding. And you know what the best part of that whole verse is? It doesn't say we're in the light. What does it say? We are the light. It's a lot of difference. You were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Our day-to-day walk, our day-to-day way of life, our day-to-day way we do things. Where's Jesus right now? In heaven, sitting at the right hand of God. If somebody's going to witness to your neighbor, it's not going to be Jesus. He's at the right hand of God. Who's going to do it? It's got to be you. What about your coworkers? What about the people at the store? What about the people cutting you off in traffic? If anybody's going to tell others about Jesus, it has to be us. If anybody's going to be the light, it's got to be us. Therefore, walk as children of light. Every day, as you go through your daily routine, let people see Jesus in you. Let people see Jesus in your life. Like I said before, how you talk. Do you talk like everybody else talks, or do you talk like a Christian? Where you go? You have to be careful. In 1 Thessalonians 5, it says, avoid the very appearance of evil. I know I've told this illustration before to some of the Hope people. Y'all know, most of you know, I used to work for Miss Lisa's dad. I was one of the associate pastors at Liberty Baptist Church in Louisville for Dick Webster. And every now and then, once a month, we'd get in the church van and go to a restaurant for lunch. So we're going to a place we love to eat called Mercado Juarez. It's kind of a Mexican food buffet, always packed, always crowded. So we get there, park the church van, get out in a hurry, rush up there, going to get in line because we know it's going to take a while. So we get there, we get in line, finally get our table, sit down, eat. It was great. We come back out, get back to the van, and there's the Liberty Baptist church van parked under the Millionaire Men's Club sign. Watching how you walk, how you talk, where you go, how you act, what you listen to, what you do, how you dress. Those are important things. We're supposed to be different enough so people ask why we're different, so we can tell them why. if nobody's asking, maybe your walk isn't that different. Ephesians 5:15 tells us, see then, because of all this we've already talked about, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. So how do we walk the walk every day? Day in, day out, day after day. Make sure you're diligent in your conduct. Circumspectly means pay attention to what you're doing. Be careful. Look around. Make sure everything's okay. Make sure you're representing Christ. Make sure when people see you, they're seeing Jesus. Make sure you're diligent in your walk and your conduct, how you act. Not like those around you, but like a wise, mature Christian. That's what it says. Not as fools, but as wise. James says we need wisdom. Ask for it in our prayers. Knowledge we can get in our Bible reading, or from experience, or from watching other Christians. Wisdom's how we apply the knowledge. And that's what we're doing every day in our walk, is applying what we've learned so that we can be the witnesses we're supposed to be. So, why does all that matter? I know we've heard sermons about, yes, walk in the Spirit, supposed to walk in the Spirit, need to walk in the Spirit. But what difference does it make? We're in a race against the clock. There's no reason the Lord can't return for us, for the church, at any moment. I think the only thing needs to be fulfilled is they're supposed to rebuild the temple before 3.5 years into the tribulation so the Antichrist can stand up in the temple. They can build a temple in 3.5 years. If we leave here now, they can start getting rid of the Mosque of Omar tomorrow and build a temple. I'm surprised we're still here as it is. The Bible says, as it was in the days of Noah, it must have really been bad then. Because we're still here as bad as it is. But until it does happen, until he comes back, until the church is raptured out of here, there's still time. Matthew 5:16 says, let your light, talked about being the light a while ago, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And then 1 Peter 2:12, having your conversation, there again, your walk, your way of life, honest among the Gentiles. That's the people around you, the co-workers, friends, neighbors. That whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, your walk, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. In other words, they're watching. Everybody around you is watching. And the idea is, if we live the life we're supposed to live, walk the way we're supposed to walk, that people see us act the way we're supposed to act, that they can bring praise and honor to God, be saved, and meet us in heaven when we get there. Just because of how we acted. In other words, some of your friends, some of your co-workers, some of your neighbors, they're going to be in heaven praising God that they're saved, all because your walk is what it's supposed to be. Of course, the opposite's also true. There may be a lot of people that never got saved because your walk is what you wanted it to be, not what God wanted it to be. So what you need to think about now is, how's your walk? If you'll stand, please. Heads bowed, eyes closed.